أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبح لله ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. له ملك السماوات والأرض يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير. هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن وهو بكل شيء عليم. هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش. يعلم ما يلج في الأرض وما يخرج منها وما ينزل من السماء وما يعرج فيها وهو معكم أينما كنتم والله بما تعملون بصير. له ملك السماوات والأرض وإلى الله ترجع الأمور. يولج الليل في النهار ويولج النهار في الليل وهو عليم بذات الصدور. آمنوا بالله ورسوله وأنفقوا مما جعلكم مستخلفين فيه فالذين آمنوا منكم وأنفقوا لهم أجر كبير. Today inshallah we're going to be starting Surah Al-Hadid. Al-Hadid refers to metal or iron. And it's named Al-Hadid because of the mention of metal, which is going to be mentioned later on in the surah. This surah is a Madani surah, and it has a few main subjects which are discussed through it. The first subject is that everything in the creation belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the creator of this creation. He is the one who fashioned and innovated this creation, and he is the one who's controlling everything within this creation. So this is the first point of discussion and the first theme which is mentioned in this surah. The second theme is the importance for the human being to make sacrifices so that he can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he wants any form of reward and a high place in the hereafter, then for that he is required to make some sacrifice, he is required to make some efforts, and that's the second theme that is found in this surah. And the last theme that is found in this surah is that this surah specifically talks about the limited reality of this world, that this world will finish. Everything is in this world is fani, meaning it will be destroyed one day and it will be finished one day. Whatever enjoyment we have in this world, it's temporary, and one day we have to go to the real abode of the hereafter, which is going to be our permanent abode. And that is what we're supposed to be thinking about, and that is the thing that we're supposed to be focusing on. So these are the three main themes that we find in this surah. In addition to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah mentions specific names that are not found anywhere else in the Quran. Okay, for example, wal awwalu wal akhiru wal zahiru wal batin. We'll talk about those in a minute. But these are names and qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are not found elsewhere in the Quran. They are specifically mentioned in this surah. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, He tells us to be generous with our wealth and to spend it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once we do that, we will find it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we meet Him. And the word qard is used in this surah also, like in Surah Al-Baqarah, that give a loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's as if Allah is going to pay you back. That's why the word qard is used. Also, this surah talks about the difference between the munafiqeen and the mu'mineen, and what will happen to the two parties on the Day of Judgment. How the munafiqeen will be separated between the people of Iman and the people of Nifaq. There will be a separation by a wall of punishment, a wall of fire, which we'll discuss in due course. So these are the main themes that we'll find in this surah. Going on to the surah itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Whatever is in the heavens and the earth praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. and He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. There are many surahs which start with either Sabbaha or they start with Yusabbihu. Sabbaha is past tense, Yusabbihu is present and future tense, Madi and Mudari. So why some surahs have past tense and why some surahs have present and future tense? Basically all the times are being covered. So from the beginning of time until the end of time, in the past, now and in the future, the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to continue in the heavens and the earth. All the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to praise Him. So this ayah says, whatever is in the heavens and the earth praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether that thing has a life in it or whether that thing does not have a life in it, it praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rocks, the animals, the sun, the sky, the moon, the birds, the animals, they all praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, the jinn, the angels, the human being that are regarded as aqil, they also praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the praising of the human being, that is apparent and self-explanatory, that a person who is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying the word subhanallah or making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorifying Him, that is self-explanatory because he's doing it with his tongue and also trying to internalize it and increasing his khushu by doing that. So that is very clear cut. As for the other things that I mentioned, the animals and the rocks and the mountains, etc., what is their tasbih? That's the question. Some scholars say that they also make tasbih just like the human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the ability to make tasbih just like human beings, just like angels, just like jinns. All of these creations also make the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another opinion is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them and they are there for us to see. And through seeing them, we realize the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is tasbih by itself. When we see a creation of Allah, when we see the beautiful moon, a full moon in all of its glory, when we see the shining stars, when we see the planets, when we see the sun rising and setting, when we see trees growing and we see fruit coming out of those trees, the creation doing those things by themselves, that is a reflection of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is one interpretation. And the other interpretation is the fact that the creation, it obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it does what it's supposed to do. The sun does what it's supposed to do. It rises at the correct time, it sets at the correct time. The moon goes through its phases exactly as it's supposed to. The lion and the hunting animals, they will only eat meat. They will not eat vegetables. The cow, the grazing animals, they will only eat vegetables and grass. They will not eat meat. So the fact that these animals do exactly as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to do, this is the tasbih of these things. So some scholars are persistent on the fact that no, all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does the tasbih just like the human being, and that is why in Surah Al-Isra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. Every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it makes the tasbih of Allah, but you do not understand the tasbih. You do not understand how they do the tasbih, how they glorify Allah. You do not understand. So there is a form of tasbih that they do. It is just like the human being, but we don't understand that form of tasbih. But nevertheless, whatever it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us again and again in the Quran, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Everything in the heavens and the earth glorifies Allah, makes the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. He is almighty, He is all wise. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Only for Him is the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. So this lahu, this lam harful jar, this lam of possession, it has been brought forward. It's supposed to be actually al mulku samawati wal ardi lahu. Okay, But when you bring something that is supposed to be at the back to the front, it gives emphasis. In Arabic it says, تَقْدِيمُ شَيْءٍ حَقُّهُ أَتَّخِيرُ يُفِيدُ الْحَصْرِ. So when this lahu has been brought forward, the translation becomes, only for him is the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. Only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, he controls it however he wills. It is in his hands, and nobody can question him as to how he controls it. Nobody can question him when he brings rain, when he brings the sun, when he brings hurricanes, when he brings tornadoes, when he brings earthquakes. Nobody can question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Only for him is the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. He gives life and he gives death. This can be taken from many perspectives. He gives life and death to all of us. He brings a life from the womb, and the person becomes alive. And before that, he was simply that this human being that was just born was a dead thing, a drop of semen. And from that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created something which was alive. And then that same alive thing becomes dead again. One day, everybody is going to leave this world. Similarly, we see year in and year out. You see the spring, we have spring going on right now, and the trees basically start to blossom, and the leaves start to emerge on the trees. Everything starts to become lush and green, and the plants start growing. The flowers are blooming in the gardens. And then when winter comes again, everything becomes dead. The grass becomes dead. The trees become dead. They shed their leaves. There are no flowers, there are no fruits on the trees. Everything becomes dead. So يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ, he gives life and he gives death. So every year this should be a reminder for us, similar to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving life and death to these things, one day we will be given death, and then after that we'll be made to come alive again. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here. يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ, he gives life and he gives death. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ, and he has the power over everything. Qadir, it is sighatul mubalagha for qadir. He is qadir, he has the power of everything. Qadir, he is all powerful. He is very powerful indeed. هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن وهو بكل شيء عليم. He is the first and he is the last. And usually when you have the first and the last, that means that there was a beginning point for that thing, right? When a person comes in first to the masjid, you know, the beginning point of his coming first is the time that he enters the masjid, right? And the person who leaves the masjid the last, the point that he left the masjid is the point where he became the last person to leave, all right? So there's a point to that. There is a time that is associated with being first and last. But in the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ لَا بِدَايَةَ لَهُ وَهُوَ الْآخِرُ لَا نِهَايَةَ لَهُ. He is the first, but there was no beginning for him. There was no beginning point because he's always been there. This is the meaning of awwal here. We should not confuse it with the awwal of the worldly terms. He is the awwal that had no beginning. He was always there. And al-akhir, he was the last, and he will never end. Meaning when you say the last in the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his existence will not end. It will continue. When we say the last in worldly terms, it means his existence finishes. Okay, the last person to leave the masjid, his existence in the masjid finished. That's why he was the last person to leave. So, but in the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالْآخِرْ لَا نِهَايَةَ لَهُ. He is the last, and he is never ending. That's what al-awwal and al-akhir means in the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then huwa al-zahir wal-batin. He is the apparent and he is the hidden. He is apparent. How is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala apparent? How is he visible? Al-zahir means something that is visible to the eyes. He is apparent by us looking at his creation and marveling at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and understanding through pondering into the creation that this creation has a creator. That is what al-zahir means. Through looking at his creation, through looking at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, through looking at the beautiful flowers, through looking at the beautiful birds with their plumage, through looking at the wonderful animals with their different color skins, through looking at the planets and the stars and the galaxies and everything that Allah created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dhahir. His existence is clear. There is no doubt about it. It's as if he's in front of us. Well, batin, he is batin, he is hidden, because we don't know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. We don't know his, you know, laysa kamithlihi shay, as another verse of the Quran says. There's nothing similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot compare him with anything else. So when he is incomparable, we don't know what he looks like. We don't know how he is. So he is batin from that sense. He is hidden from that sense. So huwa al-awwalu wal-akhiru wa-dhahiru wal-batin. These qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't find them anywhere else in the Quran. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And he has the complete knowledge over everything. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. It is he who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. So why 6 days? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants something to come into existence, he says to it, kun, be, and it becomes. So why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth in 6 days? The scholars say that Allah is emphasizing to the human being that when something important is done, take your time. Something important is being done, don't rush it, take your time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have created everything in just the flick of a blink of an eyelid, but he didn't. He created it in 6 days. So 6 days, what does it exactly mean? Allah knows best. In other verses of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. One day according to your Lord is like 1,000 of your years. So 6 days, does it mean 6,000 years? Allah knows best. Or does it mean the 6 days of this earth, 6 days of 24 hours? Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But whatever it is, he created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. And then he made istiwa on the arsh. Istiwa on the arsh, generally if you look at it from a literal perspective, it means he sat on the arsh. But we don't know, again, just like we don't know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, we don't know how his istiwa is, how his sitting on the arsh is, how his arsh is, we don't know. So however it is, we believe in it, as we say in Arabic, كَمَا يَلِيقُ بِشَأْنِي. We believe in it as he has the right to be believed in. Okay, so this is what we believe about istiwa al-arsh. يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا. He knows what goes into the ground and whatever comes out from it. So he knows the seeds and everything that go into the ground, and the water that goes into the ground, the rainfall that goes into the ground, and he knows what grows from it. He is aware of every single thing that is going on in the world. He is not unaware of a single bud that is coming out. Any leaf that falls from the tree, he knows about it, and it doesn't fall without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows what goes into the ground, and he knows what comes out of the ground. وَمَا يَنزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا. Whatever falls from the sky in terms of rainfall, and whatever goes up into the sky. Traditionally, the scholars have interpreted as يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا as the angels going up, the a'mal going up, because they were not aware of the water cycle that comes, you know, the water vapor going up into the sky and then turning into clouds. Okay, so traditional scholars, they've interpreted this as going up, meaning the a'mal going up, the angels going up, and so on and so forth. In this day and age, we're aware that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the rainfall coming down, وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا probably refers to the water vapor that is going up to form clouds again, so that the cycle continues, the rainfall comes back again. So, وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا, he knows whatever is falling from the sky and whatever is going up into the sky. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. He is with you wherever you are. He is with you wherever you are. This concept of istihdar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, realizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us at all times, that is what every mu'min is supposed to, you know, put inside him and know and internalize that this is what I believe, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me at all times. Then when a person has that concept in his mind, it's very difficult for him to commit sins and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is watching me right now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me right now. So how can I commit any sins? There may not be anybody else watching me, but Allah is watching me. So I should not be committing any sin. I should not be disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ, He is with you wherever you are. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ, And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever watchful of what you are doing. So He is ever watchful, which means that there will be accountability for it. It's not that He's just watching you and that's it. Watchful, He is watching you, and on the Day of Judgment He's going to take you into account for whatever you did, good or bad. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats the word, only for Him is the kingdom of heavens and the earth. To reiterate, to emphasize, to stress, the kingdom of the heavens and the earth belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ And only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala return all affairs. Everything goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything He is doing, everything is under His control. All affairs go back to, or are returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَيُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ وَهُوَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ صُدُورِ He enters the night into the day, and He enters the day into the night. This is a very strange thing. I just traveled to Australia, and the strangest thing that ever happened to me while I traveled is that I left here on Tuesday night, and I reached in Australia on Thursday morning at 5 a.m. On Thursday. I left Tuesday night, and I reached on Thursday morning. Wednesday disappeared. Where's Wednesday gone? Okay, so basically something to do with going across the international date line. So I'm in the plane thinking, I've seen the schedule that I'm going to be leaving on Tuesday night and reaching Thursday morning. So I'm thinking that during the flight I'm going to see night and day, and the daylight is going to change, and I'm going to have to pray quickly 5 salats by seeing the daylight change. But all the way through it's dusk. It's night all the way through until we reach Australia. So basically the whole day of Wednesday disappeared. On the way back, I prayed Dhuhr, and I combined Dhuhr and Asr at the airport in Sydney because Dhuhr time started. And then I got here and Dhuhr time starts over here after 15 hours of flight. So in flight, the day basically turned into night. So dusk fell again. So technically, Fajr time came again for me. And then when I got here, Dhuhr time comes again and Asr time comes again. So by the time Asr time came, I'm at home relaxing. So very, very strange things that happen if a person is traveling. So he sees these things happening, the night turning into day, day turning into night. Especially if you're going eastward, what happens is that the night basically finishes very, very quickly. You see that the plane is heading towards the east. Usually flights take off at night. And then within 2 or 3 hours, it's daylight again. Okay, so that's basically where the sunlight is the point where the sun is rising, where the plane is crossing. So this is what is happening to us night and day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the night go into day and the day go into night. And we need to, even if a person is not flying, the fact that it's happening every single day, it is the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that everything is happening in sync, and the sun is rising at exactly the correct time, and it's setting at exactly the correct time. And this is again one of the wonders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ And He is ever aware of what is in the hearts. Okay, so the fact that what we are thinking, what we are considering, the level of our faith, the wasawis that are in our hearts, all of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of. So these were the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He mentioned, that I said that at the beginning of the surah, this surah goes into great depth in talking about the qualities and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as you've just heard, you know, these are very, very wondrous ayat, making us reflect upon the power and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with that, inshallah, we'll stop and we'll continue with the rest of it, inshallah, next week. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.